Just go for it. Go for the close.
If you feel like you just got punched in the gut, now is not the time to make the call.
Don't reinforce that they're not going to work with you.
Agents miss this all the time.
He goes straight for the close. So here's what I would have done instead. Cash call, everybody. Brian Curtis, Dale Archdeacon back for another week, and you're welcome. We are here to make your world better and improve your sales skills. Right, Brian?
We are, Dale. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty fired up. You know, we just spent, 3 days at a conference. And, it's funny, I'm not a big conference guy, but I thought that was an amazing conference and just learned so much. And I just came back ready and motivated. And I don't know, it was good for my ego, too. People seemed to like what we had to say. So that helps get the head a little bit bigger.
that does help. Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely feeling much better about the whole buyer agency thing, what we need to do in my training company to help people get ready for this and overcome it. Let's jump in here. I got a call today. I'll preface it. What happened is, from what I can tell from the call, he was working a lead and the lead messaged him that they have somebody else they're going to work with. So he gives them a call. And so we're going to listen to how this goes. It doesn't end well. And part of it is a language barrier issue, which we also need to address.
Yeah, that could be a challenge.
Hello.
Hi, Elizabeth. This is Joseph, the realtor. How you doing?
Oh, I'm very well. Did you receive my message?
I did. I just had a quick question for you. First of all, I wanted to thank you for texting me.
How can I help?
I don't like barking up the wrong tree. Also, just wanted to check in with you and get a follow-up question for my records.
Okay.
Find out if there's anything we could have done to have earned your business.
You know, I think his intro is a little clunky. It takes a long time. At least she's open to talking to him. So under the premise that she's sent a message that we're going to work with somebody else, I would just address it straight out, right? Ring, ring, Brian.
Hey, it's Brian.
Hey, Brian, this is Dale. Hey, I got your message about you guys having an agent that you're going to work with. I appreciate you sending that over. I just wanted to find out, how did you find that agent? So that's how I would go about it. I'm going to go straight at it. I want to see how you found them, right? Or I might even, if I needed to, now I know Brian is a driver, right? So that's how I'm going to approach him. Let's say that Brian is not. Brian is like an S or C personality who's a little more, you know, let's just say Brian is like S and he's more people oriented, more people pleaser, and doesn't want to do anything bad. Maybe I would do it like this. Ring, ring, Brian.
Hi, it's Brian.
Hi, Brian. It's Dale. Hey, I got that email about you guys finding an agent. First of all, I think it's great that you're making some decisions on how you want to move forward, and no hard feelings whatsoever. And I just wanted to find out from you, how'd you find that agent? Softer, more energy, right? Making it okay that you're a horrible person and you're not going to work with me, right? No, that's a joke. You're not a horrible person. We're not working with me.
You know, we kind of have that feeling though, don't we? Like, you're like, oh, this was my client, gut punch. And that's one of the things that we need to be really careful about in this scenario. If you feel like you just got punched in the gut, now is not the time to make the call. You need to get your head straight, because there's a chance that you can save it. But if you go in, you know, loaded for bear, ready to chew somebody's head off because you're so angry or sad or frustrated, whatever negative feeling you're feeling, that could hurt you. And I haven't listened to this call. I don't know if that person did that, but I also have this question, Dale. I thought it was interesting. I can't remember the guy's name. Bob, we'll call him Bob. I'm Bob the realtor. Like, I don't know that I would use that intro, and it's probably going to get cut out, but the guy said, I'm so-and-so the realtor. Do you teach that? Cause I don't.
No. It's not. And he's following up with somebody who he's already interacted with. So I think he's just trying to reference himself. I don't think it's a good way to do it. So it's not a full formal intro, but yeah, I wouldn't do it that way. And I don't like his question of what could we have done to earn your business. That would have been like, hey, what could I have done to put you in this car today? Right? It's a close. He's going straight for like a close. It's like, how could I have gotten you to work with me? And first of all, I'm not ready to give up yet. Right? So my line of questioning is, how did you choose that agent, or how did you find that agent? Because what I want to get down to is, at some point, what's the advantage to working with that agent, right? And so we're going to hear some of it in here.
Yeah, and I love your question, because I think most agents would go with some version of, tell me why you picked the other agent, or tell me why you didn't pick me.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do that. Can you give me some feedback on why, you know, you chose to not work with me? Well, that presupposes that by the end of the call, you're still not going to be working with me. And so I don't want to basically, I'm not going to call it an objection, but I definitely don't want to re-cement the relationship you're building with somebody else. I want to break that relationship and bring you back to me. So I'm not going to say, why'd you choose the other person?
Yeah, right. Don't reinforce that they're not going to work with you. Don't go that way around. It's always, there's always a possibility, unless they've signed paperwork for somebody else, right? They have a contract with them, or they're in process with them already. So otherwise, just keep your options open and you don't have to talk in that way.
Sorry, can you repeat?
I was just, for my records, to find out if there's anything we could have done to have earned your business.
No. Not from you. Simply from our family, they recommend some people that they already bought with from them. So we took it and then we make the decision to work with them.
We got referred to somebody our family already worked with, right? We got a referral. Okay, good. So we know when somebody gets referred, this is operating on no like and trust, right? If you refer me somebody, I automatically feel more comfortable with them and feel like I have more of a likelihood that I'm going to get what I want and it's going to be a good experience and I don't have to take the risk on a strange salesperson.
It's a real thing, guys. I mean, honestly, like I had some work done on my house last year. I didn't go to the Yellow Pages. I called a friend of mine who was a local agent in the market because I'm new to the market. I called a friend of mine and I said, hey, who do you use for a contractor? I could have gone and just found my own. And so it's a real thing and it's legitimate and we need to cover it with people or otherwise this is going to happen. And I think you pointed this out. There's a little bit of a language barrier here. And I think that might be part of the communication issue.
Yeah, she's really good at understanding what he's saying, but he's not good at simplifying his language a little bit more. And he should simplify his language a little more. He's using big words where he doesn't need to. Her English comprehension is very high. But whenever you run into somebody who isn't a native English speaker, you really should simplify as much as you can, especially when you're in one of these tense situations where you're trying to objection handle is essentially what he's trying to do, right? That can't be complicated at all.
Absolutely. You've got to make it, because here's the thing. If you make it complicated, even if they hadn't already picked somebody else, if you're handling objections in a way that makes the person feel really uncomfortable, they're not going to want to work. I don't want to be uncomfortable. You don't want to be uncomfortable. So yeah, it's an extra added layer of challenge and you know, you have a plan for it. And I love your plan. It's just keep it simple, straightforward so that the person knows, because no one wants to feel dumb. And I don't know about you, but I've felt dumb talking to somebody who spoke another language and I didn't know what they were saying. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. It's frustrating. So I imagine it works the other way as well.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I lived in a foreign country for 7 years. So I've dealt with a lot of situations where either I don't understand the other person or that other person doesn't understand me. And so when I say simplify your language, I already know that two native English speakers, one being a consumer, one being a salesperson, who the consumer is already objecting to the salesperson, you're already behind the eight ball, sir. And if that consumer doesn't quite understand all the words you're saying, you're totally screwed. Let's see how this goes.
Okay, no problem. And, if you don't mind my asking, is there any particular thing that you're looking for in the realtors that you're going to work with?
If you don't mind my asking, is there anything particular, blah, 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 right? Again, we're talking to somebody where you just need to simplify it. So I might simplify that as, got it. Okay. What's important to you about the agent you use? And I would talk just like that and I'd make it super crystal clear. So, and I know already what's important to her is that they already got a good result for somebody that I know, like, and trust, right? That's what's important to her. I would just do it super clear, super simple, right? No flowery language.
But here's what's interesting about that question. And I use the same question that you just said or some version of that question. But again, I like keeping it simple. That's amazing. This should not be the first time this person's asking this question. So theoretically, he should have asked the question, hey, what are you looking for in an agent? What's important to you and the person that you work with? Some version of that should have already been asked. And then, because I don't know about you, but my experience is that not every client is looking for the same thing. If every client was looking for the exact same thing, then I would show up exactly the same way every single time and close everybody. That's not true. I heard this one time. It's ASK, A-S-K, and that stands for Ask Saving Kit. And basically, if you ask questions, you're going to be able to find out, what are you guys looking for in an agent? Because then I can meet those needs. And sometimes, here's another thing about that. Sometimes those answers are so ridiculous that you can realize that I'm going to fire you before we sign the contract because you're insane. And sometimes they tell you exactly how to treat them. And then all you do is just hit that point over and over again. Communication is really important to me. Great, I'm going to over communicate with you. Yeah. Someone who's a professional on time is important. Great, I'm going to be 15 minutes early. They literally will tell you how to treat them, but you have to ask.
Absolutely. I want to see what she says to this.
The advantage is refer. It's a recommendation realtor.
Okay, so the personal trust.
Exactly, personal trust. Yeah. That's the point. Understand. That's the word, sorry.
So she actually interpreted his question as what the advantage is to working with that person, which is what my follow-up question would have been. So she really is, she's definitely tracking here and can see where he's like, hey, what are you looking for? She says, oh, well, the advantage to me is that they came referred, right? That's going to be really hard to overcome. So let's see what he does here.
Yeah, no problem. And I get that totally. Over 60% of our business every year is from repeat and referral clients. So okay. That trust aspect is really big when you're working with a realtor. So
here's where he's missing. He laid out that over 60% of their business is from referral. That's good. Now I'm going to show you what he needs to follow up with that he doesn't hear. Listen to this.
I understand that. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just wanted to touch base on that. If you are willing to interview with other realtors.
Nope. He goes straight for the close. So here's what I would have done instead. So what if 60% of your business is from repeat and referral? What do you produce for them? What do you provide from them? What's the result that you get for your clients? So that might sound something more like, hey, Brian, I totally get that. Over 60% of our business is from our repeat and referral clients because they love the process so much that we take them through, where we virtually guarantee that they find the perfect home and avoid any pitfalls that they could otherwise suffer. And at the end of the transaction, they feel much more like our friends than doing business with us. So let me ask you this. I know you have this person you've been referred to. Have you signed anything with them yet? That's where I'm going to go, right? You can hear that I'm starting to tee this up to where we can have a conversation, or I'm going to ask you about having a conversation about what we do and what we provide.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, ultimately, we're not asking for them to work with us. We're basically asking them, will you at least talk to me?
Yeah, exactly. But I need to show you, I need to tell you what we produce or what we provide or what result we get for a client.
I love it. And again, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here. It might be that the person they got referred to speaks their first language. That might be another thing that's going on here. And so, and you never know. So you got to go for something, you got to try. And, you know, there's some things that, you know, I wish I could, you know, Dale, and I could give you every objection handled that will handle every situation and get you 100% close rate. That's not it. But if you do things in a systematic way every single time, it'll increase the probability that you'll have more people want to work with you.
So this guy gives kind of a backwards ask to do an appointment. And she says, okay, thinking he's done with the conversation. He thinks he's going to actually get an appointment. He screws it up, sounding like he's going to get off the phone, and then he does a weak ask. Listen to it.
If you're willing to interview with other realtors, I would also like the opportunity to earn your trust. So if you're not committed or haven't signed anything, please feel free to keep browsing the website. And like I said, if you haven't signed anything with them, I'd be happy to go out and meet with you once just to show you a house so that you can get a chance to meet with me and decide if we would fit the bill for you.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your consideration. I am wide open. Let's see, tomorrow as well as Friday until about 3:00. I also have opportunities Saturday afternoon. So if there are any houses that you've seen on our website that you would be interested in looking at the inside of, you can just send me the address.
Okay, I will let you know. Anyway, we check what you send, and honestly, it didn't cover our expectations. So, but if I see anything that you send me, I can let you know, okay?
All right. I appreciate you, Elizabeth. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
She is not letting him know nothing. There, no, this was dead in the water. And here's the problem. This sales guy thinks that he has a potential fish on the hook here. You could just hear a lot of back and forth, wishy-washy language. I'd like opportunity, blah, 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 blah. He needs to be much clearer, especially with this person. And, you know, she's not the kind of person that wants to disappoint other people. You can just tell by the way that she's talking. But she is super clear, very aware of what's going on. He just doesn't ask very clearly and doesn't make a clear case or compelling case for them to get together.
Agreed. And here's what I hear, and this is just ringing through my head right now. This guy's okay with maybe. I don't want maybe. I want yes or no, because he's going to keep potentially following up with this person. He has an expectation, and maybe he doesn't. I'm not in his head, but to me, it felt like, well, I got a maybe, and give me a no every time over a maybe. A maybe is just a whole bunch of work that never works out. I want a yes. I want a no. And that doesn't mean I'm a jerk about it. So it's like, look, let me ask you this. I understand that your interview, that you've done this. It sounds like you haven't signed any paperwork. I wonder if maybe I could just get an opportunity to meet with you to see if we might be a good fit. So I have time on Thursday or Friday. Would either of those days work? Could we just go look at a couple of houses? No obligation to you. Which day would work better for you, Thursday or Friday? At least I know when I get, no, Brian, I'm not interested in either of those days. At least I'm at a no now versus, hey, if you see something, go ahead and send it to me because we used to all do that. I'll be honest. I used to do that. Hey, if you see anything under my website, go ahead and give me a call. I knew they never were, but I was done talking to them. I don't know how this guy's thinking about that.
Yeah. So here's the problem going forward. We have to get buyer consultations again, right? We need to meet with you. We need to talk about working together. This lady already said no. They have somebody referred to them. If she sees something, she's going to send it to the person that they were referred to. She's not going to follow up with this guy. She's not going to go see houses with him. If he leaves this conversation without a yes to get together and have a buyer consultation, either in person or on video, this is dead. He's lost this deal. And so, yeah, being stuck on maybe, he's losing this. It's going out the door. So just, you can't screw it up. Here's what I like to say. You can't make it any knower. Just go for it. Go for the close, right? Like you're saying, tell me yes or tell me no. Maybe is a loss.
Maybe means I got to do more work and still not get paid.
Right, exactly.
So my call is interesting. And what's interesting about it to me, when I look at it, it's got an average intro script. He handles some stuff that comes up in the middle, does a decent job with it. But I don't necessarily like how it buttons up. I feel like this will probably still be a transaction. I feel like assuming there's a couple of factors that are beyond our control. But assuming this guy actually does move, I feel like the agent will end up getting the transaction. But he left it too wide open. He gave it too many opportunities to not become his client. And I think that's one of the things that's really important, especially as we move forward. These nebulous conversations, we have to get away from them. Just like your guy. Well, if you could really... I'm going to maybe. So, right. And this isn't quite that, but at the same point in time, we still need to make sure that we have a next logical step. You talk about that all the time. Next logical step. What are we going to do next? So, you know, keep in mind as you watch this, you know, what would have been some next logical steps that you would have put in there and how would you handle a little bit differently?
This is Pat with the Curtis Realty Group. I'm a local realtor here in Rogers and just got your inquiries on Realtor.com about a property and wanted to see if you had questions about that or schedule a time to go take a look at it.
I don't hate the intro script. You have questions or do you want to go look at it? I prefer more aggressive, like Dale and I talk about is, you know, are you looking to make a move or are you just window shopping? So I don't hate the question. He asked him if he wanted to see an appointment or, and full disclosure, it's a script that I used to use. I used to use this 5-6 years ago. Do you have any questions or would you like to make an appointment? So I don't hate it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I really just started looking, so I was told I was going to need to relocate. So I really don't know what I need to look at. But if you give me a chance to look through some stuff or I'm kind of looking for, like I'm going to probably stay here in Houston, but I probably need to get like some kind of small townhouse or something. Do you know, you can just send it to me.
Brian, didn't he say the guy inquired on a property? We were asking if he wanted to go see it.
Yeah. So he physically lives in Houston.
Okay.
And he's going to stay in Houston, but he needs a second residence in Bentonville, which is what he's calling about, because he's about to theoretically get a job for Walmart and he needs to have be able to travel back and forth.
When he inquired on the property, he wasn't necessarily trying to go see that one. He then is telling us his story.
Yeah, he's just kind of like, yeah, I'm just starting, I'm not sure. And yeah, kind of goes through that. And so, and the agent does a good job. Basically, he doesn't use his verbiage, but basically getting the guy to tell him some more. So I'll go ahead and place a little bit more of that. But yeah, that's what's going on. It was a little confusing to me at first, like, wait, why do you want to be in Houston? Why are you looking in Arkansas? It doesn't make sense. He's saying he wants two residents. He's going to live in the one in Houston and the one in Arkansas.
And then we can connect when I get down there to come look. But right now, I don't think I'm going to move permanently, but I just need something in the meantime.
Okay, no problem. So you're in Houston currently?
Yeah.
And they're relocating you to Northwest Arkansas. Who do you work for?
Walmart.
Walmart. Okay. And have they kind of given you a timeline on when you need to be up here?
Not yet. I won't get that till next week.
Okay. Gotcha. I didn't know if they had talked about the process as far as
when you no, like they like right now. They gave me like an NDA where I can't discuss it until everything gets finalized.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you know where your price point is going to be?
I'm not trying to buy anything permanent. So yeah, I'd like this probably between $300,000 and $400,000 if I can find something like that.
Here's what I would do if it were me right now, especially with somebody out of town. I just say, hey, man, can we jump over to Zoom? We can meet each other face to face, have a quick conversation. I can even show you some neighborhoods and explain the prices in neighborhoods and what amenities are there. It'd be much easier. Do you want me to send you a link to your cell, to your mobile, or to your email to jump on with me? Push this to a face to face because you're going to build much more rapport and there's no reason not to. And everybody and their mother knows how to get onto a Zoom call at this point, right? And so I would shoot for that. And if he says no, all right, let's stay on the phone. No problem. I'm going to keep doing my discovery, but otherwise I'm going to try to get, I want more connection with you.
Yeah. And the guy seems very amenable. Like I feel like the guy's happy. The agent's talking to him. It's not like, oh my God, I got to get off the phone, I hate you. Like we hear some of those calls, but I mean, the guy's he answers the questions. He, you know, lets the agent do discovery. So I agree. If we could be face to face, I can handle this right now. Now what ends up happening because of the situation, the guy has to go. And that's where we messed up. Like if you'd ask that question right now, hey, can we jump on a Zoom? Hey, I would love to, but I can't do it right now. Perfect. So would later on this afternoon be better or would tomorrow be better for me to jump on the Zoom? Oh, tomorrow would be great. Perfect. What time? Now we go and we can go and do that. And it sets it up. And that's ideal. And I love what Dale said there. I had the same idea, but let's watch what happens and why. And when you get to the end of this, I feel like this person will probably work with us because he just seems like a guy who's like, all right, yeah, we're good. And we miss an opportunity to cement that relationship, in my opinion.
Brian, I want to give one more reason that I'm thinking I would want to push him onto video is because there's so much that's up in the air. The guy's not here. He's never been here. He doesn't know any of us locally, agents, right? Yep. So much stuff is up in the air. He has an NDA he can't talk about. He's not super clear on price point or where or anything. So there's so much unknown that if I don't get that closer relationship with him, the likelihood that I could lose him to some other agent or some other situation, like I don't have enough hooks in you. That's why I want to get you on video too, to help solidify that future business.
And let me tell you why it's even more important than the average person. Agents miss this all the time and they end up getting really frustrated by it. This guy is telling you he's a relo. If you sign an NDA to get a job, they're probably going to pay you to relo. Think about it. Like a guy making $20 an hour does not have to sign an NDA.
Right. No, you're not signing. Yeah. No, you're not signing an NDA unless you're important.
Right. So this guy, think about this. And this is what people miss all the time. So he's signing an NDA. That means he probably has relo services. He may not know he has relo services yet. You need to get this guy on your team so that then he goes to his relo manager and says, hey, I'm working with Dale Archdeacon at Amazing Realty, and that's who my agent is. And every time I've done that as an agent, they've said, great, they don't care. But if you don't cement that before they talk to the relo guy, the relo guy will say, hey, you've got to use our guy. It's not true, by the way, but it's easier for the relo people because they know their relo person. They know how to work with them, and they would rather work with somebody, even if they're not the best, somebody who they know. So getting in front of that relo is really, really, really important, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's finish this up. It's got less than a minute left.
I don't know if I can or can't. I mean, it depends on if I sell my house, then it'll be like $1.2 to $1.3 million. But if I don't, I might just need like a second house type of deal, you know? I got to talk to my wife through that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that 300 to 400 range is definitely doable here. I seem to be working like at the home office in Bentonville.
Yep, I'm in right now.
Yeah. So if you can find something that'll kind of fit like a two bedroom townhome or something like that, that'd be perfect.
Sure.
Yeah. You got my email. I'm in the middle of a conference call, so I'm gonna have to pop my call. What's your name again?
Yeah, my name's Patrick Forsey. I'll just text over my contact card for you, and then I'll be in touch at a better time. Okay.
Okay, Patrick. Thank you. Bye.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, we got cut off right at the end there, but we need to know when we're going to talk, why we're going to talk, and what the lead's going to get out of it.
And again, I feel like this guy will answer the phone call again. They had decent rapport. It wasn't, you know, off the charts or anything like that, but they had decent rapport and do that. But that doesn't mean six agents aren't going to call him between now and the end of the day, and somebody's going to close hard on him, and you lost him simply because somebody closed hard on him. He clearly is clicking on sites. Like, I think this was a realtor.com inquiry. The guy's clearly out there looking at websites.
Yeah, you can hear by the way that he talks, man. He will answer the phone for anybody that calls him. If I call this guy, you call this guy, some other good salesperson calls this guy, and we tie it down harder, guess who wins?
Every time. You know, it's funny because we were talking about this role play this morning. And a lot of agents are afraid to piss anybody off. They're afraid. They're like, well, I'm trying to be consultative. Like we were talking about sending open houses to people who weren't your clients yet. And just say, hey, go look at the open houses. Let me know if you have any questions. I'm like, you're sending sheep to the slaughter. I mean, it's just like, what are you doing?
You need to give your people a specific open house script. If you go to the open house, when they talk to you, this is what you say. And then when they try to keep talking to you, this is what you say.
You know, I've got to give the potential client a reason to do it. So it's like this. So I'm guessing you've been to an open house before, or if you haven't, you probably understand what's going to happen is you're going to walk in there and this agent's going to follow you around like a puppy dog. I don't know about you, but I just want to look at the damn house. So with that in mind, if you'd like to just look at the house, tell them you're working with Brian Curtis at HomeQuest Realty and they'll leave you alone. I promise. And you give them a script, but give them a reason to use the script. The reason to use the script is these people will leave you alone and you can go do your own thing. So I think it's really important to give people a why, because if you just give them a script, sometimes they'll use it. But if there's a really good reason to use it, I think they'll stay on top of it.
That makes sense. Excellent. All right, Brian, I think that's good for today. You know, these people can't handle too much goodness in one shot. Yeah, there is such a thing as too much goodness. All right. Thanks for joining us, Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.